Welcome to Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals from Elevate Coaching at Guild Mortgage. Hosted by Coach P, top producer, vice president of Elevate, and national coach, each episode is a playbook for success. You'll hear from top producers and industry leaders as they share the moves, mindset shifts, and lessons that shaped their growth, both at work and in life. Elevate your business. Making the moves that matter.
Have you ever wondered how to lead with heart while driving results? Today, on the Elevate podcast, Coach P sits down with Shayla Gifford, a Guild leader whose story is rooted in resilience, reinvention, and real connection. From her early days as a top producer to becoming a national influencer, Shayla shares what it took to rise, recover after running on empty, and rediscover balance through coaching. Hear lessons on creating meaning beyond the numbers, how to keep showing up, continue learning, and lead boldly even when challenges arise. Discover how her journey sparked Catalyst, a community built for genuine connection and long-term success. If you're ready to step forward with courage and clarity, keep listening.
Elevate your business, starting now.
Well, here we are with Shayla. We are going to be talking to her today. She's one of our leaders at Guild Mortgage. She's had a 16-year career here at Guild, and it spanned from being top producer, district manager, national leader. She's just created her Catalyst program that we've brought into Elevate that we're really excited about. And something a little different. This conversation isn't going to be about her numbers or her production. It's going to be about her transformation and her transformation through coaching and how that has affected her life personally and then also in her business. So Shayla, welcome.
Thank you, Paula. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. You know, let's just start here. You know, you've been with Guild for 16 years. And when you look back at if you were looking back at your first version of yourself, right? what would you tell yourself? What's different?
It's funny because before coming to Guild, I interviewed 9 different mortgage companies to decide where to go. I never had a good mentor, manager, or coach in the business, and yet I was doing a ton of business. In 2009, I closed over 200 units, and I didn't know where the business was coming from, what was purchased, what was refi. I was a bank loan officer at the time. I was at Flagstar Bank. I was getting fed bank leads. I was also going out door to door. I was jumping on the news. Most of that business was FHA streamlines. And I didn't have a processor. I didn't have an assistant. So 100% of my focus was finding a company that was going to be around. You remember the implode-o-meter of 2009. And I had now been through 2 companies in a row that just up and shut down or, you know, put me on the sidewalk. I wanted to be around real people, people I could trust and respect. Every other company I'd worked with, I kind of was embarrassed to be around the people I was around. And then I wanted to find a way to do this in a sustainable way. At the time, I was working maybe 12 to 14 hour days. My husband, fortunately, was living in Tahoe and I was in Reno. And we had just gotten married middle of 09. And he didn't really know, I think, how much of a workaholic I was or how stressed out I really was, because I think I could perform and pretend and be playful, fun Shayla on the weekend and then be a chaotic freakazoid mortgage person during the week. But my frustrations were around companies that didn't have the liquidity, the stability, or that just couldn't get things done. You know, things like overlays drove me nuts. It's like, if DU approves it, why can't I do it? So I was that loan officer that would argue and fight and feel like I had to have my dukes up to get things done and felt like if it's going to be done right, it has to be done by me. And while that was exhausting, I didn't know there was another way. And so I really wanted to find a company that could get things done. And that's what I cared about at the time. That was it. I was like, I don't care if monkeys run this company. I want a good, solid company that closes loans so that I can, you know, have less stress. And I'm so grateful that my concerns changed over time, that I got out of that place.
Right. And we have similar stories. I mean, I think I came in a year after you did, but I was with a company. And when I was getting ready to make a change, the number one thing for me was stability. So when I knew they had been in business for over 50 years, and there was only one guild in Portland, and the guy that called me was someone I had worked with in the past, and he said, he was telling me how he could get this deal done that we couldn't get done. And I said, okay, if you can get it done, because of overlays, I'll come talk to you. Yep. And he got it done. They didn't have the overlays at the time. So completely get the stability was super important. And I don't think loan officers think about that when they make moves, right?
Yeah, and just how a company is capitalized and owned really matters. And I didn't quite understand this at that time, but a lot of mortgage companies are owned by one rich dude. And it's some sort of structure like an LLC or whatever. They make money and they take all their money off the table every month. And they're running their business on warehouse lines because they're a correspondent lender. And it's like running your business on one big credit card. Well, you know, your decisions are different when you're one person making the decisions. And you have to rotate and sell your loans really fast every single week and every single day. So when I came to Guild and it was like, wait a minute, there's 8 executives that own this company backed with a private wealth office. It's 50 years in the business. There's no one person that's taking and scraping all the money off the top. This is a company that's built to be a legacy company. And they've got servicing. So we can make common sense decisions. We can follow Fannie and Freddie because we're not trying to sell that loan to U.S. Bank and PennyMac and whoever. And when I realized how much of a competitive advantage that was, I crushed it in my market because I didn't realize until I interviewed 8 other companies and read all their guidelines how many pages of overlays that they had, because they had to make sure every loan was sellable to 2 entities just to cover their butt. So you not only had the Fannie and Freddie guidelines or, you know, FHA or whatever, but you also had Investor One and Investor Two overlays. And so I really exploded when I realized that. And it just took me being around people that I respected and feeling like I can get loans done here. You know, I can ask direct questions. I can trust the people giving me an answer. I heard no so infrequently that I finally put my dukes down, that I was like, okay, if I hear a no, it's a no, and I'm not going to push. I'm going to move on to the next lead and the next referral because there's so much we can do. The box is so wide. I don't have to be in fight mode all the time. And that was a game changer for me.
And it was because you did a lot of business within your own personal business, and then you grew. So you took huge advantage of that big box.
Well, it's interesting. I took a couple steps back to take many steps forward. You know, like in the builder or in the bank world, because I was fed leads and I was chasing all refis, I was closing about $4 million a month in volume back then, which was a lot. It was like The month I left Flagstar, I had 30 loans in the pipeline. So I've always been a volume girl. I've always had the mentality, like, if I'm going to work 8 hours a day, why not close as many loans as I can in 8 hours a day? Like, I love helping people. I like the stimulation of being very busy. And so I remember the first couple of months at Guild, I closed like 2 loans and then 4 loans and then 6 loans. And the benefit of coming to Guild is that I cold called a lot of other branch managers around the country to just say, hey, how do you like it over there? Tell me about your experience with Guild. And every single person I talked to had been with Guild a long time and had nothing but amazing things to say. And the manager that was closest to me in Reno, Nevada was Debbie Maggart. And she had already been here for several years. She had won branch of the year in Little Minden, Nevada. And she said, hey, why don't you come down and I'll show you my system. And she was being coached at the time, and she opened up this binder and she showed me that she had a lead tracker and she showed me that she had her P&L, and she was so transparent and just giving me everything. She didn't look at me like a competitor that she couldn't share things with or that she was editing what she had to say. And for me, I'd never experienced a culture like that where people were like, oh yeah, let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me share my screen. Like, let me teach you. And I'm competitive. So I'm sitting there with Debbie going, oh my gosh, like if you can do this, I can do it. And she was my open door to start getting coached and to start totally thinking about my business and how I was running totally differently. So that first year I did, like, I barely made it into President's Club. Like I was like, I made it probably in the last week of the year, and I squeezed in as like the smallest person on the trip. And then the next year I had a baby and I started getting coached in 2011. And I remember closing 75 loans between January and June. I had a goal setting call with my coach and he said, what's your goal for the second half of the year? And I said, 150. And he's like, oh, so you just want to close 150 for the year? And I was like, no, I want to close 150 in the second half. And he's like, wait a minute, you're trying to double? And I just had a baby and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, why don't we make your goals more realistic? That's all I needed to hear. And I went out and I closed 178 deals in the next 6 months because I had really gotten my mojo. I had aligned with operations at GATA. I knew my guidelines. I knew the guild system. I knew what I could say yes to and no to. And I did what the coaches told me to do. I had realized that before I had kind of hit a plateau. I was working a bazillion hours. I didn't trust anybody. I didn't have systems. There was no rhyme or reason to what I did on a Monday or a Wednesday. You know, you would have thought that I thought I got an award for how fast I could reply to email because I was the girl that always answered the phone and always responded to an email in 5 seconds. I never went to coffees. I never talked to classes. I never did a 5-3-2. I just didn't know any better. So the combination of like guild and my confidence in being able to perform and to combine with coaching just had me take off. And from there, it was like 28 million, 40, 80, 85, 90, 130. And so it all happened here. And I was still the same chick that I was the 6 years before in another culture, in another environment. I just had this calling to say, like, if I can do this, if I can make such a radical change in my business, like, I can teach other people how to do this.
So what was the turning point? Because, you know, you got to a place where you were performing at such a high level, and there's a cost to that. I think a lot of times producers, they want to be these top producers. I don't think they realize the cost of doing that. Because there's only you, and if you don't build out your team structurally wise, and we know that when we first start doing that, we always hire the wrong people, we don't know how to delegate, all those things happen, right? And so what was the turning point? Like, at what point did you say, okay, enough's enough?
Well, I think what drove me and fueled me was a variety of things. First of all, when I was growing up, my parents were in construction and they were self-employed. And while we lived in a nice custom home that they built, and I always felt like I had all my needs met, there was also this sense of like, we have money and then we don't have money. Like, there was a time where our house was listed on the market and then taken off the market and then listed on the market. And like, this was our home. This is like a house we built. And so for me, I was on a war path to get to a place of stability and security. And that's what money has always been for me. Like, I still don't carry a purse. I don't have a watch. I just wanted to feel safe. And so I had a number in mind and I was on a war path because for some reason I was afraid of myself. Like, I know how type A and driven and laser focused I can be. And I've wanted my life to be about balance. I've been scared that my life would be just a blur, that I'd be running so hard and so fast with so much drive that I'd look back and not have any memories of it at all, that it was just a blur. And so that's what kept me laser focused. The other thing was just fear that we all have. Like, I started at 23. I don't have a college degree. And so I had all the fears that we all have. Like, am I good enough? Do I know enough? Am I inexperienced enough? And You know, people aren't loyal. You're only as good as your current performance. The harder you work, the luckier you get. Like, I had all these mantras that kept me kind of chained to being on 24/7 and feeling the need that I have to be valuable constantly in the moment or people are going to leave me. Either my loan officers are going to leave because I'm not a valuable enough leader, I'm not relevant, I'm not helping them, or my realtor partners are going to leave me because I'm not giving them enough attention, or that client's going to call someone else. And so after a while, that fuel, what I would call dirty fuel, that fear, you know, fear can either paralyze you or propel you. It definitely propelled me for years and years and years and years at a sprint pace. But I was sacrificing myself at all costs. And there got to a point where I was sick like every other week, you know, and it would be like 2 or 3 days where I've got lozenges and I'm doing, you know, Mucinex and Dayquil and I'm like powering through and it's getting like embarrassing. Like I'm trying to figure out, you know, every 4 hours, what different drug can I take so that I can power through this, you know, annoying sickness that I have. And then I've got cold sores, which are not cute. And that's a sign that I've run my immune system straight to the ground. And it's a big billboard for you're not taking care of yourself. And then there became some guilt and shame around my daughters, because I started coaching and made President's Club that first year when I had my first daughter. And so I didn't stop. I mean, I literally was locking loans in the hospital. They were trying to discharge me from the hospital. And I'm like, wait, I need to stay on the Wi-Fi. I need to lock some loans. And I did that both times, a little better the second time. Like, I think I worked from home for a couple weeks. But I, you know, I would just work to oblivion. You know what I mean? And so I really realized that I needed to start shifting out of this scarcity mindset and out of this, you know, lack of worthiness, that I'm, you know, if I'm not perfect or on all the time, that people will leave me, because that wasn't true and it wasn't going to be sustainable for me.
So what did you do? What did you change?
Well, I went to Spain.
<Sure did. laughs> You left us.
I know. I made a massive life change. I had a coach at that time, and I was truly the definition of burnt out. And the reason I know this is because I switched coaches, and I told the coach, I was like, "You're not allowed to ask me anything about numbers. You can't ask me how many leads, how many deals, how many pre-approvals, how many calls, how much money I made, how much money I saved. Like, I don't want you to ever ask me any of that, because I need to depart from my worth and value being just dependent on the numbers, because the pressure is crushing me. And I've done it. I checked the boxes. Like, you know, how many times do I have to make President's Club or win Branch of the Year or whatever to say, like, Shayla, you got enough trophies, like, chill, like, find balance. And so he gave me an exercise and said, I want you to go on a personal offsite, because I needed to do some soul searching. I needed to figure out, like, if this is inertia and habitual, that I work and work and work till exhaustion, and yet I can't see it until I'm already hitting the wall. Like, I need to, like, slow down for a minute and regroup and say, what matters to Shayla? What do I really, really want? And how am I going to set my priorities in alignment with what I say I want? And so I did that in February of 2019. And I took, I think, 2.5 days. And he gave me all these journaling prompts. And in there, I discovered that I had this dream to live abroad. Always. And my kids were going to be, they were 5 and 8 at the time. And friends of ours had moved to Singapore, and we went and visited them, because we had shared early dreams of, like, someday when we hit our FU number, we're going to go live somewhere else. We're going to show the kids, you know, we were like dreaming. And then they did it, Paula. They were like, psst, we're going to Singapore. And I'm like, what? You're doing it? And so we went and visited them, and I was like, oh, this is possible. Like, these guys did it. if I really want to live the life that I'm proud of, that impresses me, that is aligned with my dreams, then I got to do this and do it like now, because the girls are going to get old and into sports and it won't happen. And so I planned for like 9 months. I made sure I empowered my team. I stopped originating loans in my name. I escalated and elevated leaders all over the place, probably all the things I should have done. But I was determined not to have anybody suffer because of my desire to chase a dream. So I did not want anything that was special about our branch or the success that we were having to be affected. So I was very careful, very thoughtful. I stayed working the whole time in Spain. COVID ended up happening. So everybody worked from home. And I just worked on a different time zone. You know, I worked 8 o'clock at night till 1:30 in the morning. And I slowed down a lot. It just really slowed down. And I really focused on taking care of myself and being connected to the kids.
Were you there 2 years?
So we got 2 full school years in, basically.
Great. So you got a time to have some downtime, but also, you know, you still were working, got to spend time with your kids, find some balance. So you come back, you know, and 3 years ago we hit, they said, well, the NBA said, well, rates are going to go up to 4.875 by the end of the year. And then it happened, what, in 2 months? I mean, and then it just started, the whole thing changed, right? So I know we were working a lot in Elevate. Like, how do we get our loan officers back out on the street? They've been sitting at home working and it's pouring rains. So we were kind of focused on that internally. And then you started thinking about, so you created, how did Catalyst come about? Like, how did that come in to play?
Catalyst came in much later. So, you know, because I am going to mention numbers here for a minute, because from 2010, when I officially like opened a branch, signed a lease, got a space, to 2018, when I hit burnout, there was 8 years. It was just me. I came to Guild. It was me and a backpack. I brought nobody with me. I started a branch. And then slowly, one by one, hiring loan officers, hiring an LP1, hiring an LOA, hiring a TC, hiring a processor, building out operations. By 2018, I had 8 branch offices and satellites, about 30 loan officers, and we were doing $1 billion in production. And that was fast. I mean, we grew really, really fast. Life was moving fast. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, how do I have 5 cars and 2 of them that just sit around? Like, how do I have a nanny here 50, 60 hours a week? Like, it was just, the whole thing was just really chaotic. But then COVID happens and we pump up to 1.6, 1.9 billion because we just were blessed. We were poised. We were ready. We were so good at working our Guild portfolio and our database. Like, it was unbelievable. And, then we drop all the way down to 475. So, you know, As a manager that I hand selected every single one of these people and coached them and loved them and created community and collaboration and fun and team fun. And now we had to lay off 65 people over the course of a year and a half. I mean, like, over and over and over, we're doing rounds of layoffs. So it was a really hard time because, you know, especially because I had, of course, attached my worth and happiness and joy to numbers. So this is now going the opposite direction every month. Second, I've done this out of love, like loving my people and loving the business. And now I'm having to tear that apart and break people's hearts. And then it just sucks to lose. Like, it doesn't feel like we're winning, you know? So there was a moment where I remember being like, okay, I'm kind of being the leader that I've never respected or wanted to be, which is grumpy, cynical, negative, pessimistic, depressed, bummed out, moody, like all of those qualities. I'm like, that's me right now. Like, this is gross, you know? And I just felt so lucky to have empowered the dreams in my life and to hit all these goals And I wasn't about to just sit and wallow in grumpiness and losing. I have all these people around me that still have big life dreams and goals and passions. And like, we got to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and like figure out a way to turn this thing around and find ways to win and get excited and blah, blah, blah. And so one of those ways for me as a manager was I was like, I got to grow. I need new blood. I need new energy. If I'm not going to lay off any more operations people, I need more volume coming in. And there was only so many deals going down, right? I mean, our market went from like 1,000 deals a month down to like 200 deals a month. And even if you're like number one market share, it's a much smaller pie. So I said, I got to get out in the world. And the moment in the mirror challenge was like, Shayla, are you going to be a one-hit wonder? Because it was real nice that you and your team crushed it from 2012 to 2021. That was an amazing time. Rates basically went down and down and down and down and down. And the values of homes went up and up and up and up. And, you know, we hit it hard. And yes, we were focused and we were coached and we were all in. But a lot of that was luck and timing in the market. And I've never wanted to be a one-hit wonder. Like, I respect people who win and grow and stay together and have teams that have been with them for 20 years and that win multiple championships over and over and over again, because it means that it's more than just luck. It means that there's a winning process. There's an ethos of continued support and bonding and adaptability and reinvention. And like, that's what's inspired me. So now it's my turn to reinvent and to adapt and to do it. So anyway, that's why I was like, I got to get excited. What's going to juice me up? What's going to get me pumped?
It kind of reminds me of like when I was coaching basketball, you know, when you're winning, you know what I mean? It's fun. It's exciting. Everybody wants to be around you, right? And yep. I remember also when you lose, I would, we would go down and I'd talk to the team. And literally one time I walked up, and the lights were out and nobody was there. I mean, they were gone. You know what I mean? And so it kind of reminded me, we were doing the same thing. Everybody was, you know, during that COVID period, everybody was breaking records. You know, our loan officers were happy. They were at home. They didn't have to get out, you know, and then all of a sudden, yep. Boom, you know what I mean? And I looked at that as like, okay, now we're going to lose a little bit, right? And what do we learn? And I think that is the most opportune time to get better is when we're in that state, because we, just like you, just like me, I don't want to lose, right? So what am I going to do differently? What am I going to change? So you started to think about that. And then what did you do?
And then, yeah, Catalyst comes along later. What I did, so then I was like, okay, I need to put myself out there. Like, you know, I've been speaking on stages and coaching nationally and, you know, all a ton internally, of course, that we've done here. But, you know, with Mortgage Coach and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, how am I going to take that attention, those relationships, the coaching I've done in the past and turn it into an expanding team? And so the first thing I did was I invited people to an in-person event. I've always done a loan officer retreat at the end of the year for my team. And we go off site and we spend 2 days and we do business planning and we get pumped up and, you know, we talk about our dreams and goals. And so I invited outside people. You know, I don't know, I scraped together a newsletter list or bomb to random emails I had. And I said, hey, come to my loan officer retreat. And so I opened that up to the public. And that was in November 2023. And it was great. I mean, a lot of people said, oh my gosh, no, my manager doesn't do this for me. Nobody ever helps me like set goals or do a plan or write the plan. And I've just been shooting blind. And I'm like, I know, because that was me. And my whole life changed when somebody helped me with this stuff. And so then I'm like, okay, well, I got to do this every 6 months because I need to keep building the recruiting funnel and meeting people and serving the industry. And like, what turned me on was not being a one-hit wonder, but was also looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? What are my God-given talents? What do I love to do? What can I bring to the world of value? And that's what turned me out of grumpy and getting back into service. How can I get out of my own head and just go serve people. And at the time, I'm like, okay, I'm 42. I've still got an origination team. It's evolved a lot. It's totally different than it was. I run all these branches and satellites. We've started a coaching company inside of Guild. I don't know that there's a lot of people like me. I think I'm kind of unique. And people need motivation and they need energy and they need leadership right now more than ever. People are bummed out. You know, they need that. And what I think the downturn exposed was leaders, because a lot of leaders just sat on their hands and they did get grumpy and cynical and stay there. And I think it exposed that a lot of leaders had a title, but they weren't being valuable to their sales team. And so I just said, okay, step up and offer yourself to the world and the industry, and let's see how we can make a dent in the universe and start making an impact. And that got me out of my funk, because now I was on a mission again. And so I booked my next event in May of 2024. And then it was a beast to sell the tickets and to fill it, let alone do the agenda and do this stuff and recruit the speakers. I mean, it's a huge, huge lift of an effort. And I was like, wait a minute, all these people in November said this was best ever and they're so pumped and fired up, but yet I can't get them to come back 6 months later. And what they were saying over and over again is, I didn't implement anything from November, because they were fired up in the event. They went right back to their branches, to their current situation, to their current managers. Nothing changed in their environment. And so they didn't change. And that's when I was like, okay, this does not work. This is why I know coaching works, because if you work on something every single week or you have a coach that holds you accountable, you start making progress every other week. And so I thought, all right, well, I can't go into like zero to 100 mode every 6 months to have people come to this event. I will put myself out there to start coaching loan officers again, but in my own unique way, like with all the experience I've got on burnout and life balance and, you know, changing your mindset and you know, thinking about how to like be your best self. That's what I'll do. And I'll offer a one-to-many group coaching, and then people can come to the event. They can get the playbooks, they can get the inspiration, they can get the juice of energy, and then I can hold them in a coaching container and build community around them so that they can go back to wherever they live across the country and they can go back and be surrounded by the same people they were surrounded by with, but now they have this. And now I can like help them because I'm offering that to them. So that's where Catalyst came from. And I started it in July of 2024.
How many people are coming into Catalyst right now?
We have 145 members. I do a live call every single week. It's every Tuesday. Every other coaching I've ever done is biweekly. I elected to go weekly because this is not small group coaching. This is more of like a lifestyle, a framework, an energy and a community. I have a very thoughtful curriculum and plan and journey I'm taking people on. But I think if you're one-on-one coaching or small group coaching, once a week is way too frequent because there's not enough time to like go the assignment, make progress and come back. But when you're in large group coaching, I think the frequency and the rhythm is really helpful. And if you miss a call, no big deal. You can go to the recording, you can get it from the portal and you could just pick right back up. So I didn't know how long I would stay on a weekly pace, but I found I love it. And I love Tuesdays because every Tuesday I come in, it's my Catalyst day. I get a pulse check from all the students who fill it out on Sunday, which is asking them all kinds of questions. I find out what their progress is, what their wins are, where they're struggling. If they're using the planner like I prescribe, if they're being bold, you know, I get to ask questions and like really get that feedback to stay in tune and to cater my coaching to it. So I spend a whole hour reading those before I get on the call. And I love it.
I mean, you've coached a lot of people. What have you learned? Like, has anything surprised you with anybody you've coached? Or what have you learned from coaching people?
We're always our own problem. Like, we have enough talent. We have enough strengths. We have the resources that we need. It's often just a limiting belief that's getting in our way. that then just spirals us. And it's amazing that if you can have somebody look at you and say, I expect more, you have the capability to do it and get back to me in 2 weeks. Like, the results are profound. Because I think everywhere deep down, people know they have more inside of them. They know that they are gifted, that they are talented, that they've been bestowed opportunity, and that they are limitless. And at the same time, every single one of us is insecure. And if I got on the phone right now, just like you introducing, with somebody who's closing 400 units a year in this market, they are wildly insecure, just like the person who's doing 2 units a month. Their insecurities and areas are different, because I think with every area of growth and expansion, you bump into your newest version of insecurity and your confidence wavers. But we're not all that different. And the coaching students that do the best are the ones that actually surrender and say, tell me what to do, coach. And I imagine in basketball, they say, coach, how can I get better? How can I get better? You give them feedback and they do it.
Coach, I want to play more. How do I get into the game?
Yeah, exactly.
How do I get to President's Club? Right? It's the same thing, right? I agree. I mean, sometimes the push is just knowing someone else believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And that sometimes triggers people to take action. You know what I mean?
I think we all need somebody who talks to the winner in us. Mm-hmm. And I even think somebody asked me this question today about calling realtors over the holidays. I'm like, what do you say? I said, I'm going to call and talk to the winner in them. Like, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm talking to a lot of people and everybody's feeling a little ugh and or scared and or feeling a little burnt. But I know you're like me and you're wanting to make this time of the year count. And you're wanting to plant seeds that are going to bear fruit in the first quarter. And you're wanting to stay positive and motivated and keep your momentum going. And I don't know about you, but some days it's harder this time of year than now. How are you doing with it? How are you doing with staying motivated and really staying focused on prospecting and planting seeds? I'm not just saying like, hey, man, how are you? You know, oh, I'm lazy.
No more buddy telling. Right.
When you can look at somebody and see the champion in them and see them to say like, yeah, I see you. You have all the raw makings of a champion. May not be the way you're behaving at the moment, but I'm going to talk to that winner in you because that's who I want to work with. That's who I want to play with. That's who paid for coaching and decided to show up. I think we all need that because it's like the coach who doesn't give a player any feedback. It's kind of because they don't think that player has much potential. The ones that get the most feedback or get railed on or get really knocked around, it's usually because the coach is like, you are better than this. You have way more potential. Step it up. And like, if we can all see that as
love, it's actually
as
love.
An honor as love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. So you've always been coached. Are you being coached right now? And what's Shayla working on?
Yes, I'm always coached and have multiple coaches. In this last year, I hired a coach she works with a lot of like authors and people that struggle with visibility. Like they have an idea, but their messaging is off or they struggle with getting visible. She's really helped me work on alignment, like understanding, you know, who I'm meant to help in the world and how I create my messaging around that. The funny thing is here I am 9 months of the year and I'm like off social media. I'm like, I'm taking 3 months off. I don't consider myself a marketer. I've learned a lot and I've learned a lot in terms of marketing because she's kind of a marketing genius, but I'm just not a marketer. The other work that I've been doing for over a year now is with Nancy Levin and I've been doing more, it's through shadow work. And so I've been doing a lot of like, I don't know. It's like I've been trying to grow up. I haven't noticed that. But like, I'm trying to be just less of a mess, less chaotic, less operating from dysfunction and fear and deficiency, and operating from like love and my pure desire. And I'm always fascinated by human behavior, by even my own human behavior. Like, why did I do that? Why did I respond to that? Why did I drive myself to exhaustion again? Like, what stories am I telling myself? What part of my background? And so, I just got certified as a life coach through Nancy Levin, through the shadow work. I'm leading a group through her reinvention coaching now with her. I'm not leading it. I'm in it. I just brought a bunch of friends to it. But it's helped me really see things like, you know, why I overfunction in ways. Because like, I think everyone has anxiety. Everyone feels insecure. We all have a story. We've all had hurts and wrongs that have happened to us. But like, what do we do with that? And how do we transmute that pain into purpose? And then how do we not overcompensate from that? You know, which leads into self-sabotage and, you know, abandoning ourselves and, you know, really just being immature, like just, you know, living on the extremities of our personality. Like Galen's called me Shaynado, like a tornado. And this, we've been married 16 years, and this is what it's been like to be married to me, is it's just like this tornado that blows through the house. And, you know, like, because I'm just so singular minded and whatever the case might be. So I'm just really trying to find longevity. Like success to me now is about longevity. And it's about, you know, winning the week every single week. I have metrics. I know where I'm going. I know what mission I'm on, but not over functioning. Not getting to that place of insecurity of like, this isn't enough, this isn't good enough, I got to push harder, where I'm telling myself, I'm whipping myself with more pressure. I'm like, I created a plan, and I'm sticking to the plan, and I'm doing my darndest to keep in line with just doing what I need to do. It's like embracing the boring. You know, everybody says you got to be consistent, and I think some of the most driven people are also probably the most dysfunctional people. And hopefully you can harness your dysfunctions for good. But I really don't want to be as jerky. And I think that, yeah, I want to be as healed as I can be and as loving and present as I can be for myself first, so that I feel that stability in myself, but definitely for my kids, you know, so I can really be present for them and like see the divinity in them instead of like seeing all their faults and judging them and getting into fear mode about what that's going to mean, like truly seeing the, you know, the wholeness that they are and their divine spirits that they are, and just being able to be in that presence instead of like the old Shayla, who's always got to be productive at all costs and has a to-do list constantly and has 10,000 things on my head where I'm here, but I'm not really here. And if I could show up that way for myself, for my kids, for my husband, for my team, that's what I care about. That's what I'm working on.
So if you look at, you know, like your future, like what, you know, with everything you've done, like you've done it all. Okay, let's just put it that way, as far as production, building a team, and now you're out building, regrowing your team, right? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? What do you want people to say about Shayla? I mean, how do you want people to describe you?
Thank you for that question. My grandmother just passed, and she was my person. She was 95 and a half, and just like my hero in every regard. And I wrote her obituary, and so I've done a lot of reflecting on this, right? Like she was never, well, I mean, maybe early in her life or whatever, but she, it's funny, in her obituary, I didn't even write about her professional stuff at all. My dad's like, you're not going to write about where she worked and what she did. And I'm like, at the end of your life, none of that matters. It's like the way in which she made every person feel just by her being, like who she was. And in, you know, I'm 40, almost 45. So in my 45 years of life, she, I don't think she ever gave me advice. I don't think I ever felt criticized or judged by her. Like she was fully contained in herself. And she was a badass. Like, she lived independently. She paid her own bills till the end. She never was a victim or complained. She cooked her own meals, but she enjoyed her life. Like, truly, she was laughing all the time. She was like tickled, you know, like just waiting for you to say something to laugh. And it just turns out like she was everyone's person, you know? So I think, I've always said, like, if I died at 35 and everyone's at my funeral saying, God, she was such a great business person, her numbers were unbelievable, I'm like, fine, okay? Because it's like a season in my life. But if I'm 45 and that's what you're saying, like, oh, that is sad. You know, this, where's the joy? Where's the, you know, dynamic richness of your life? And so, you know, the things that I'm doing for fun right now are simple, like going on a walk and being in nature and reading. And I'm in a season with one daughter in high school and one in middle school. And I'm happy with that. But I think there's many more seasons in my life to keep exploring my internal world and finding more spiritual connection and joy, you know, because truly, Paula, being so driven and achievement oriented and coming from a place of lack of worthiness, like I have to earn my worth and earn love through my achievements, I haven't really thought about enjoyment a lot. Now I am now, but I haven't really thought about like joy and just for the fun of it and like being playful and goofy and whatever. So my goal is to still be in this business in the same atmosphere and the same culture in America that's competitive and asking you, what have you done lately? And you know, all the external triggers are there, but that I can keep evolving and finding my own center in the midst of it. And I can kick ass at work and have a life I love and do enjoyment. It doesn't have to be either or, because for so long I would say, I just need to retire. I just need to quit. You know, I would blame it on this business and I would blame it on this industry, that all this stress and all this chaos, it's just the way it is. And I would tell these stories that Galen would be like, I don't think so. I don't think everybody has this problem that you have. I don't think everyone is as stressed out as you. So I just feel lucky to be in our business that it's limitless. And you and I talk about this all the time. Like, who knew that you could start doing loans and then you could be a leader and you could be a mentor and you could give people this industry and you can become a financial coach and help people save money and build wealth and you can put people in homes and help their grandkids and their great grandkids. And like, there's so many ways to have legacy, which is to do fulfilling things right here in our business. You could go write a book. You could start a program like Michelle. I mean, there's so many things you could do right from our desk at Gill Mortgage to make an impact in the world.
All right, last question. So, if there's anybody out there right now that feels just like Shayla's been talking about, like you're working yourself too many hours, you're not having any fun, you're overwhelmed, you're insecure, you're feeling high anxiety. What do they do, Shayla?
Well, I would love to invite you to join me in Catalyst, where you don't feel abnormal for being super driven, high achieving, want to take on the world, slightly or totally functional. Like, there is a place where other driven people are, and that you can be out loud and transparent and say, I want to triple my business this year. I want to burn the bridges and do that. And everyone around you is going, hell yes, like, let's do it. And there's somebody leading you that has been where you've been saying, okay, let me try to clear the road for you so you can get there faster. And oh, by the way, like, let me come from 21 years into the industry and wanting to live a big life and give you the tools and the framework for how to be less of a mess, how to be more prepared, how to be more powerful and intentional with your time so that you can be present with the kids. You can come in with a focus, a laser focus. You can put things on your calendar that actually drive the needle, that are effective strategies. So I would say less is more. Have that standing in the mirror moment and decide that now's the time to make the change that you want to make. and then get support to hold you accountable, to talk to the winner in you, to drive that change. And then be patient, because I spent 40 something years being one way. And now that I see another way, it's going to take me some time to shift my automatic patterns and behaviors and habits. But once I know it's possible, once I've seen someone else do it, I can do it. And that's the same as getting an Elevate coaching and saying, I didn't trust anyone. I didn't delegate anything. I had no clue about organizing my time or doing a 5-3-2 or working theme days or hiring a person. I knew none of that. But once I saw just one person that could do it, one person who came to President's Club that wasn't on their computer the whole time, I thought, okay, if it's possible for that one, then I want to learn how to do it. Why not me? So have the decision and then look at yourself in the mirror and say, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What is my character? Why am I a winner? Why should somebody choose me and bet on me if I was a horse in the race? Why am I a winner? Because you're competitive and you're stubborn and you're determined and all these character qualities that have made you you, you can apply those to whatever your next goal is.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you. Tell Galen I love those sunglasses. Are they glasses or sunglasses?
They're the blue blockers, except they're yellow. And they make me look like Elton John.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think Elton John's coming on today. Anyway, we appreciate you. Thank you for taking time today. I know you're really busy, but we appreciate your insight. And I know it's going to be helpful for a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that feel the same way.
Well, can I just say, Paula, I love you and thank you for your contribution to Guild, to the industry, for leading by example. And I love that Guild Mortgage is a place that embraces us for us, that I can say what's ever the most true in my heart at any given time. And I have been embraced. I have been celebrated. I have been encouraged. And this is not a unique experience to me. I feel that anywhere in this country, no matter what your level of production is, you will be loved for you. And I remember wanting to go to Spain and being so scared and calling Marianne McGarry and Harry Schmidt, our CEO and CFO at the time, and saying, I have this dream. I said, if anyone could do it, you could do it. And like, it's just been a remarkable gift in my life to be here and to be around all people that get to be themselves and get to be vulnerable and get to be coached and get to be driven. And so I'm happy to be on the Elevate podcast and happy to be in your life, Paula. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Elevate Your Business, a podcast from Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage. Glad you could be here for today's playbook. If you want to check us out, head over to guildmortgage.com and click About Us to find Elevate Coaching. Have a question or want to keep the play going? Visit us and send a DM on Instagram at Elevate Mortgage Coaching, or leave a comment for us on YouTube. We're posting extra content, behind-the-scenes action, and everything you need to stay in the mortgage game. On Elevate Your Business, we share real stories and strategies from top producers to help you move forward. So ask yourself, what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate.
Guild Mortgage Company, NMLS Identification Number 3274, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing opportunity, equal opportunity employer. Arizona banking license number 0018883. Licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC3274. Licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance. Licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Nevada mortgage company number 1141. Oregon mortgage lending number NL176. Rhode Island licensed lender and third-party loan servicer. Guild Mortgage Company, 5887 Copley Drive, San Diego, California, 92111. For licensing, visit guildmortgage.com/licensing. All loans subject to underwriter approval. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to change without notice. Elevate is an internal Guild Mortgage Company coaching program and not a separate entity. Podcast content is provided for informational purposes and based on publicly available materials or tactics used in the industry. The views, strategies, or opinions discussed do not necessarily represent those of Guild Mortgage Company or its affiliates. Intended for mortgage industry professionals only.
Paula Nerschel, NMLS number 383396. Shayla Gifford, NMLS number 315764.
Thank you for joining us on Elevate Your Business, a podcast from mortgage professionals brought to you by Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage.